I love these snapshots of the early church and really just early Christians doing their thing. It may not even have been church at that point. It's just people doing stuff. And we visited a lot over the last several months, it seems like, in a number of different ways. And I encountered some reading this week, and I offer you the history of Christianity in five easy moves. You ready? It's really quite interesting. This is a writer out of, he actually lives in Kansas City, so he's close by, and he's pastored a church and tried to do some interesting things with what he calls integral Christianity. And I might talk to you more about that later. But he says, Christianity began in Palestine as an experience. It moved to Greece and became a philosophy. It went to Rome and became an institution. It spread throughout Europe and became a culture. And it went to America and became a business. It's kind of a punchline at the end. It's not necessarily meant to be, but it's an interesting evolution, isn't it? From experience to philosophy. You can get the Greeks and their philosophy, you know, and Paul, we can thank Paul for that, for the spread of Christianity. You got Rome and the institution of the church and all that that has meant. It flourished, you know. For some people think that was the demise of the real Christian movement because it became institutionalized. And all that Christianity became in Europe as a culture, you know, you think about it, it's not just the church, but it's the whole Western culture and philosophy and art and music. I mean, through all the Renaissance and the years beyond that Christianity became. And then it came to America, and we mastered it as a business. It's a big business too, isn't it? In some places, it's a booming business. And what this guy was lamenting was the loss of the experience. What started as an experience in Palestine. Not that any of these things are necessarily bad. There are definitely judgments and criticisms to level at every step of the way. But just the fact that we moved away from experience into so many other things, whether it was from an experience to a head thing, to philosophy, to a culture, you know, where it wasn't so much, you know, your own personal experience, but whether you looked good doing it, you know, going to church or whatnot. So my real interest in this Acts passage is to try to uncover the experience and to see if there's anything left of Christian experience. And I think there is. I'm not real cynical about this. I'm just real passionate that experience is where it's at when it comes to Christian faith. And I'm, you know, I was a philosophy major. I'm a kind of a heady guy. I love to get in my head. But that doesn't satisfy as a religious experience or faith, a way of faith. It doesn't satisfy. It leaves me empty and wanting more. So these couple of verses here, it's actually in verse 42, you get the whole thing in just one sentence. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. That's all you need to know about the Christian church. Four things, one sentence. Teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. And if I were an English comp teacher, I would say that's a very good topic sentence. Now develop it. And then the next two sentences, they unpack. Whoever's writing Acts, the author of Luke, he unpacks the whole thing in a little broader paragraph and gives a little more detail. All came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. Okay, so we're going to unpack the apostles' teaching and what exactly. And it wasn't just, again, it wasn't a lecture. It wasn't a head thing. The apostles' teaching actually made stuff happen. Signs and wonders. Lives were changed. People experienced something in that teaching. Okay, so we might have to break our mold of what we think teaching is. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. It sounds like hippies and socialism. And I don't know. It sounds pretty way out there. And day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home, ate their food with glad and generous hearts. It was about an attitude of life, this glad, a heart full life that these early Christians were experiencing and sharing with one another. And day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and they ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And day by day, daily, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And that's the bottom line for the business of church in America. Are you growing? Are you adding numbers? Have you kept a tally of those who are being saved? It'd be interesting to go through and look at that list of that movement from experience to philosophy to culture to institution to business, and really sort of look at how church is done on all of those levels. But to really unpack what's happening here, what was happening in this daily discipleship experience is that lives were being changed. Things, you know, people were feeling things and they were experiencing something. Their language, you know, for me, I've got, you know, thousands of years and some baggage over the word saved, for example. Well, what does that mean? They were at, you know, they were 3,000 were saved that day. Well, in the American business model of the church, it meant that 1,000 people said a magic prayer and they accepted Jesus into their heart and now they're going to heaven. So we've added to the rolls for heaven exactly by 3,000. It was a business transaction. That is not what that's about. Does anybody think that's what that's about? I'm glad you don't. There are people who do really, well, of course that's what it's about. Why would you even question that? But I'm not preaching to that group today. But what does it mean? What would it mean to have been a first century person, to have been saved? Pardon? Oh. Yeah, believing. Making a change, a shift in your life. You know, the word repent appears here right before this story. They repented and were baptized, and that's so it was part of the saving process. One of the translations of that word is to change the direction in which you're looking for happiness. So where you might go here with your culture, whether it was the Roman culture or the, you know, I'm going to let Caesar feed me and clothe me. And no, I'm going to turn this way. I'm going to let God feed me and clothe me. I'm going to live. I'm going to walk a different path. Okay? Yeah, I mean, what the word means, and I just happened to look over in the next chapter, there's just a really interesting, the word repent does say, turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That just sounds really nice to me. Times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That was the thing that this early Christian experience offered people that they had not had before, was this sense of presence, that you could actually commune with God. And not in the strict sense, although it might have extended to the table, you know, well, officially I communed because I took bread and I took a cup and I said a prayer, but to actually just to be in relationship with and have a physical felt experience of God. So a couple of stories of why I think that's happening still today, because I see it. I was here yesterday. There were about 20 people here we had a retreat day called Silent Saturday, and just a lot of silence, some meditation, and we had an experience over here in the room where we do centering prayer. I call it, well, it's the room of 1,000 crosses, because there's crosses on the wall in there. There were about 8 of us in there, and we just we did this practice together. It was kind of a silent prayer, but it was based on an exercise in the 14th century from a spiritual master who tried to get people to sort of pray imaginatively, and it was kind of based on the idea in the fourth chapter of John's Gospel. Jesus says to the woman at the well, if you would ask for me, I would give you a drink, and it would spring up into eternal life. And you would have this constant flowing stream in you. So this 14th century mystic, who was the teacher of Teresa of Avila, one of the great mystics of our church, taught her to sort of imagine this well. And it was actually just almost a physical prayer exercise, visualization, meditation, you know, call it what you want. But you do this thing, so we did this in there, I don't know, maybe 15 minutes we experimented with it. And afterwards, I was asking people, you know, what was your experience like? And this guy, it's been a long time since I've seen somebody moved in church like this. He was just shook his head. He's like, that was great. He's just like, that's all he said. He's like, that was great. And then he said, this is important. This is so important. And I don't even know what he meant by that, but I know what he means, that it's important, you know, and it is. He had an experience, right? He experimented with a prayer form, and he felt something deep and realized the significance of it. And I mean, that's the experience of Christianity that I think people are hungry for, and in some ways, it's, you know, the church in some ways fails to offer, but we happened to hit it yesterday. It was great. So that was a great experience. A totally different story I would tell to share that is, you know, our kids coming here to church midweek, you know. I think about Derek in particular. I'll tell my Derek story. That kid just loves this church. He experiences something here. He has a Christian experience. And we're part of that. You know, you're part of that. I'm part of that. Sarah's part of that. Other parents are part of that. People who provide a meal, by the way, we need a meal on Wednesday, are part of that. So, and, you know, sometime ask Derek, you know, what do you love about church? You know, tell me, you know, just to see what happens. I'd be interested in that. So those are just a couple of examples, very simple things where I think we can reclaim the experience that where it all began. And there, it's not rocket science. It's breaking bread. It's saying prayers. It's teaching. And it's fellowship. Those four things in Acts 2:42. So let's do more of that. Let's reclaim the experience that started it all and gives so much hope to us. And in the end, saves us. Thanks be to God.